Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continued our series, Extra Grace Required, with a message titled, The Gossip. Now here's Pastor Ray.
So let me change gears here. And there were four pastors from four different churches in a small town. And they decided to come together for a very important reason. They wanted to be accountable for each other. They had issues in their lives, as we all do, all pastors do. And they wanted to come together and to confess that and to hold each other accountable. And so they came together and they began to share, this is what is happening in my life. I need you to pray for me. I need you to hold me accountable. And the first one began by saying, well, I've never told anyone this. No one knows except my family, but I have an anger issue. I yell at my wife. Would you hold me accountable? Would you pray for me? Would you hold me accountable? And they kind of nodded and said, yeah, we will. The next guy said, well, since we're sharing, I need to let you know that my problem is booze, alcohol. There is no leftover communion wine in my church, if you know what I mean. I need your help. I need you to pray for me. Would you hold me accountable? They all nodded. The third guy said, well, I am super embarrassed to say this, but confidentially, my issue is lust. And all I can tell you is that every time I step in the pulpit, all I see are just the pretty ladies. I didn't even notice the guys. I've got an issue with lust. It's inappropriate, and I want you to hold me accountable. Well, the fourth guy was silent. He wasn't saying anything. And the others were starting to get a little nervous because they had just opened up and exposed their lives, their deep, dark secrets, and so they were just feeling very vulnerable, and they urged him, listen, we've disclosed. Now you need to share what is your secret sin. And he said, well, mine is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here and tell my church about you guys. Gossip. So this morning, we are going to look at the final of the EGR categories called the gossip. The gossip. Now, let me just kind of give you a preview of the month of August. We're going to stay in the Extra Grace Required relationship series, but now I want to pull us into a specific chapter in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about this just a little bit last week, but the Lord has just led me to kind of unpack this, do an expository journey through one of the most critical, practical, theological books in the Bible. The first three chapters of Ephesians, as you know, if you've studied the Bible, is an amazing theology of our identity in Christ, who we have been made to be by virtue of God's grace, not on our own. This is God's grace in our lives that has made us worthy. It's made us worthy, declared us to be worthy in God's sight. That's our Christian identity. But he changes gears, the Apostle Paul does, in chapter 4 and 5 and some into chapter 6 as well. And he starts talking about how then we are now to walk worthy of our calling. In fact, that's the first thing you see in Ephesians 4, verse 1. Now, walk worthy of your calling. And then he kind of unpacks what that looks like. And most of it has to do with our relationships with one another. So this fits nicely into this whole series, this whole relationship series called Extra Grace Required Relationships. How do we walk worthy before God and live out our calling? Well, we have to be in harmonious, peaceful, right relationships with one another. So we're going to spend 5 Sundays just looking at that. But today we're going to talk about the gossip, Extra Grace Required EGR relationship called the gossip. So I did some research this week. I really did. And I decided to look up on the internet on a search engine, and I just typed in the word gossip. And it came back with 105 million hits. Not 105, not 105,000, 105 million hits just on gossip. Now, I only read about half of those hits. Like, no, I read literally the first 3 or 4 pages of these pages that came up, these websites that deal with gossip. And overwhelmingly, I mean a high, probably in the 90 percentile, I didn't do the math on it, but a high percentage of these sites treated gossip as perfectly acceptable. Not as a sin, not as a, you know, but they're perfectly acceptable ways of doing things in our culture. Now, gossip has always been, and it is today, has always been a culturally acceptable flaw or an idiosyncrasy or a quirk. I mean, in most societies throughout history, including ours today, it's perfectly acceptable. Gossip is. And it's actually quite alluring to to fallen human beings like you and me. Gossip is an alluring activity for people like us. Proverbs 18:8 says, "There's nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth, not in your hands." There's nothing as tasty as a morsel of gossip. It just melts in your mouth. But listen to this. If you are in an EGR relationship with a gossip, or if you are one, in a relationship with one, or honestly, if you are one, you need to understand what God says, how God sees gossip. And God doesn't see it as a flaw, as an idiosyncrasy, as a perfectly acceptable quirkiness about us. In God's eyes, gossip is sin. So we just need to start with that baseline. God sees gossip as sin. God himself said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, he said, "Do not spread gossip. Do not try to get ahead at the cost of your neighbor's life, for I'm the Lord your God." In other words, Almighty God says, "I'm God, don't gossip." I mean, it's a strong connection in that verse. Listen, I'm God, so don't gossip. As simple as that sounds, and you're wondering, well, what's the connection? There is a vital link to that in how we treat one another. God says, "I'm holy, I'm your God, so don't talk badly, in a bad light about other people." That's how God feels about gossip. And that is how God's people are to feel about gossip as well. And that's why the psalmist said, "Gag the gossip who badmouths his neighbor. I can't stand their arrogance." That's in a modern translation. Gag the gossip. I can't stand what they do. So that's how God feels, and that's how God's people are to feel about this business of gossip. Now, what's interesting is that most people who gossip don't believe they do. If I had a diagnostic tool, and I today found that 50% of the people gossip. Let's just say it's this half, okay? These are the gossips, these are the non-gossipers. But if we figured out that you all were the gossips, 49% of you, 99% of you would think that you don't. You know, unless you're just living under deep conviction of the Holy Spirit, people don't get it. They don't think that they are. They're just sharing information. They're just sharing prayer requests. They're just expressing a concern about somebody else. But gossip? No. People don't get that they gossip. So for that reason, I think it's important for us today to clearly define what gossip is. So let's get a picture clear, crystal clear definition of what it is that we mean when we talk about gossip. So in the Old Testament, gossip referred to spreading a bad report. That was the idea behind the word gossip, to spread a bad report. Case in point would be when the spies in Numbers came back, the 12 spies came back. They had been checking out, scoping out Palestine, Canaan, and the Israelites were going to go in and take the land, but they sent in spies first, and they came back. And it says that 10 of the 12 gave a bad report. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, didn't, but 10 of them gave a bad report. "We can't do it. It's got giants. We're going to fail." And when they said that, it says that the people began to murmur and complain and gripe. Now, listen, there were 2 million plus Israelites. A lot more, really, if you counted the children. So there were millions of Israelites. They didn't hear those 10 all at once say that. What happened? Gossip spread in the community. It spread, and they began to talk, and pretty soon the majority of Israel was complaining about Caleb and Joshua. And then they begin to gripe about Moses and Aaron, their leaders, and then they begin to gripe about God. They begin to criticize God, and they said, "We're not going to go. You brought us here to kill us, so we're just not going to let you do that." And because of that, they rejected the steps of faith that God had called them to, and God said, "Then, all right, you're going to get to just stay here in the desert and wander until I find people of faith that are ready to go in and possess my promises." So it's the idea of spreading a bad report in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it carried the idea of whispering. It was to, in a hushed way, to deliver some information about somebody else. You know the whisper game or the telephone game? You know how that goes, right? And when you whisper something and how it gets distorted. If I were to come over here and to whisper a secret to Dr. Tom Dooley and say, "Dr. Tom, I want you to whisper that," and each one of us would whisper until it worked all the way through this congregation. I'm off camera right now, aren't I? Sorry, those of you who watch online. And we just let this go all the way through until it got up to the top of the balcony. If I would have said it is going to be an amazingly sunny, bright, warm day, by the time it got up there, it would be, did you know that Pastor Linda is going to leave Ray for a 19-year-old man? That's what happens. That's just spreading a bad report. It's not going to happen. She's not going to do that. I'm very sure of that. Spread a bad report. Whispers. That's gossip. That's the biblical definition or description of gossip. So let's define it by the dictionary. The dictionary says it's idle talk. Idle means it's pointless. It's just baseless talk. It's ridiculous talk. Or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. So let me take it even further and put it from the dictionary into practical life. It is to talk about a person true or not, okay? So it doesn't matter if it's false. It could be true. You know, rumor is unsubstantiated truth. It might even be falsehood. So this is not even talking about whether something's true or not. So you can be as true can be, but still gossip by sharing that with somebody else, okay? So it's to talk about another person, true or not, to a third party, in a less than flattering way, to tear them down, not to build them up, in a way that tears them down and it doesn't build them up. So let's be clear. This is what gossip is. This is what it is, whether it's acceptable or not, promoted or not. We have all these gossip columns and gossip sites and gossip TV shows. This is what it is, and God doesn't like it. Now, because most people don't believe they do, then how do you tell if it's gossip? How do you tell if the person sharing information with you is gossiping or if you sharing information are gossiping to somebody else? Here's a good way. Would you say the same thing if the person you're talking about were present? That's easy right there. Would you share the same thing in the same way if the person you're talking about were present? It's been said that nothing shortens a long story than the arrival of the person you're talking about. Yeah? Would you share it in the same way, same stuff, if they were there? Here's another way to determine if you're speaking or listening to gossip. If Jesus were part of that conversation, would the same thing be said in the same way? Now, listen, those are simple, but those are good rules of thumb for gossip, for evaluating or analyzing if something is inappropriate or not in our speech. Would you say it if they were there? Would you say it if Jesus were there? So I hope you'll take that into your mind and file that and use that as one of the filters that we use in terms of how we share, communicate with one another. Now, let's come back to God. Why does God despise gossip so much? I mean, it's clear in His Word. He despises it. Why does God despise gossip so much? So let me give you several reasons. For one reason, gossip creates conflict. Gossip creates conflict. It stirs up dissension. That's the usual motive of the gossiper. That's kind of the poison pill of gossip, it stirs dissension. It makes you think less of the one that's being talked about. And when they find out they're the object of being talked about or the subject of being talked about, unflatteringly, it then drives a wedge in the relationship. There is dissension. Proverbs 16:28 says, an evil, say the word evil with me, evil. Come on, say that, evil. I want you to hear that. I want you to say it. An evil person sows strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Note that gossip, not just gossip, but the gossiper is categorized as evil, wicked. Now, you can say, well, there's context, there's texture to that, there's, you know, maybe this is only talking about the chronic gossip, or, you know, and we can go through all kinds of theological gymnastics to exposit or to interpret that text. But if you want to do proper hermeneutics, that is the unpacking of Scripture, you know, there's laws of hermeneutics. If you want to, at the base level, do hermeneutics properly, you start with the plain meaning of Scripture. You'll always start with the plain meaning and intent of Scripture. So this says, an evil person sows strife. Let me follow up with another proverb. Proverbs 16:9 says that God, and this is just an interpretation, kind of a translation of this, God hates the gossip. God hates the gossip who stirs up conflict in the spiritual community. Now, don't miss the serious tone of this. This isn't Pastor Ray's opinion. I don't have any one mind. I'm not looking out there and saying, that person is a gossip and I hope they hear this. That is not my intent today at all. I'm sure there are people that gossip in this congregation. I know people who have in previous churches, but that really isn't my intent. I don't have a picture of the gossip in mind. Last week I said I usually have a picture of somebody. This week I don't. I really don't. So, and maybe that's important. I didn't think about that until this moment, because God doesn't want you to think that it's me. This is Him. He's saying, I have a picture of a person in mind. And says, I hate, not the gossip, He does. He says, I hate the gossiper. It's there. It's there. So we have to deal with that. God hates the gossiper. Wow. Pretty harsh, isn't it? Pretty harsh. So it stirs up dissension. It creates conflict. Furthermore, gossip ruins relationships. It ruins relationships. It separates close friends. It breaks up partnerships. It leads to disunity in marriages, in families, in friendship circles. It leads to disunity in the body of Christ. Churches have split over the fact that someone started gossip and it spread in the community. It ruins ministries. It's ruined ministers. And at the end of the day, when that happens, God's work suffers. It's not just that somebody got upset, but God's work is hindered. God's work suffers. God's blessing is lifted because of that, because God values unity more than anything else. Not just tolerance of bad stuff, but he values the unity of His children. We've talked about this before. You don't believe me? Look at Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in what? In unity. Three verses to that psalm. That's the first. The last verse says, for where the Lord finds that unity, there He commands His blessings, even life evermore. You don't even have to ask for blessing in that case. You get in unity and stay in unity with your family, with your friends, with your church. God will make His blessing. He will demand that His blessing be upon you. Proverbs 16:28 says, gossip separates best friends. It sparks disunity. It creates disharmony. It breaks the shalom of God. It breaks apart the shalom of God that Christ came to die for, and that God desires in the family of God and in the human family. And that's why gossip is a subtle tool of the enemy. Because remember, we talked about this last week, Satan's stock in trade is to divide. He wants to separate us. He wants to cause distance between us and God and between us and one another. Gossip ruins relationship. Likewise, gossip corrodes confidence. It corrodes, it rots confidence. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. The effect of gossip is unsettling. I mean, it just unsettles the person or the relationship or the community, because it foments doubt. It creates doubt on that person who is the object or the subject of the gossip. It creates doubts about their motives, about their behaviors, about their character. It erodes trust. It erodes trust in the one that gossip is directed at. It erodes trust in the one who's gossiping. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're in the presence of a gossip and they're sharing something about a third party, you should be assuming if they are willing to share that about them when they're not around, they're going to be willing to share stuff about me when I'm not around. So heads up. If you discern that you're with someone who's gossiping, listen, you're next. Just assume it, you're next. And it erodes trust in the one who listens to gossip. It erodes the trustworthiness of the one who listens to gossip. Because, listen to this, even passively listening is actively participating. That's not on the screen, it's not in the notes to write, but write that one down. To listen, to passively listen is tantamount to actively participating. So gossip corrodes confidence. One more, finally, gossip raises reputations. Not raises up, raises as in destroys, tears down. Gossip raises reputations. Have you ever been stung by gossip? I see nods, most of you. I remember Linda telling me about when she was in high school, coming out of high school, that in her small church, in the youth group, a person who was a competitive with Linda, another girl, a rival, started spreading gossip about Linda. And it kind of went through the group and went through the church, and it was a very difficult time for her. And it cast aspersions on her character. It was a made-up story. And Linda's wise old pastor, John Featon, came alongside Linda and said, "Linda, hold your head up high. I know your character. You're going to be fine. This will work out." And it turns out where it was actually this girl who started the rumor who really had the character issues, and that was borne out. And Linda's reputation was really preserved by that. It hurts. It stings to be the object of gossip. I keep saying object. I guess it's object, right? Or subject of gossip. It's both. There was a survey that was done not too long ago, a national survey of Americans, where a third of the people surveyed said that they had been personally and negatively affected by the gossip of somebody else. So most of us have experienced that. I remember when I was a fairly young pastor, about 30 years of age, and I was brought back, hired at a church in Denver, Colorado, to be the executive pastor, a very high-profile church. And one of the roles that I had was to start a young marriage ministry, which we did, and it was thriving and it was growing. And, you know, back then as today, young couples have issues and struggles and marriage challenges. And somebody in that growing, thriving group started a rumor about me. And by the time that it worked its way through the group, The rumor was that Pastor Ray was deeply engaged in New Age philosophy. I was a New Ager in some people. I don't know, was it the crystals I used or something? I don't know what it was. I'm kidding. And so that's what some of them began to talk about. And that they whispered and that rumor went around. And sadly, the rumor was quickly dispelled because it's just not true. But I remember one of these couples that kind of bought into that. They got into that rumor mill that I had been trying to work with because their marriage was in great disrepair, and it broke relationship. It ruined my reputation. They lost confidence in me, and they went a separate way from our church and from me, and they separated in their marriage. It's corrosive. It destroys reputations. I want you to see this on the screen, and I want you to write this down. Next slide, please. Once spoken, words are irretrievable. It's truth. That's good and that's bad, right? Good words spoken, they don't come back, and they go out, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. But we need to understand that negative words, hurtful words, gossiping words, untrue words, once you speak them, they're irretrievable. Say that with me. Once spoken, our words are irretrievable. I want to give you an assignment this week to think about that, just to think about that. Put that in the front of your mind and let that be one of the filters. I'm going to give you another one, but one of the filters that you use before you say anything. Once spoken, whatever you're about to say is irretrievable. There was a poem that I committed to memory several years ago. Part of that poem I want to quote to you today. And if you have a chance, this is going to put up the screen, guys. It'll go pretty quickly, so I hope you can jot this down, memorize it yourself. But this is so true, so true. It says, boys flying kites haul in their white-winged birds. You can't do that when you're flying words. Thoughts unexpressed may fall back dead, but God himself can't kill them once they're said. You think about that. God, who is all-powerful, can do all things, but he cannot kill your words once they're spoken. Thoughts, they might fall back dead. Words, once they're spoken, once they're said, they're out there. So that is why words, discouragement, negativity, pessimism, criticism, that is why gossip is so hurtful. And that is why God so hates it. That's why this is important to God. Now, let's move on. So if you are in a relationship with this EGR, what can you do to love the gossiper but eliminate the gossip? This is the rub. This is where our assignment comes in. If you are in an EGR relationship with a person who has loose lips, they gossip. What can you do to still love them and stay in relationship and help them, but to eliminate the gossip that is so damaging? So let me give you four things. One, these aren't easy, by the way. I'm not purporting that this is an easy assignment. This isn't. If it was easy, we'd all be doing this, and there would be no gossip. So number one, redirect the conversation of the gossip. If you're in a relationship with the EGR, redirect the conversation of a gossip. If talk turns to gossip, be committed to challenging it. Because if you don't, you share in their guilt. Remember, it takes two to gossip. So if you remove the listener, gossip doesn't work. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down." Okay. I came across some possible scenarios, that if you're in a conversation with a gossip, you can use this as a response to them. So let me give you these. These aren't on the screen, so you might want to write these down. But let me give you three scenarios. There were more than that, but I thought these were pretty cool. What if a gossip comes to you and says, "Hey, can you keep a secret?" You say, "Well, actually, I can't." "Can I share something confidential?" You say, "Maybe, maybe not. Depends on what you're about to tell me." You just get right up front with that. Here's another one. A gossip comes to you and says, "Hey, there's something that I want to tell you about Joe, but I'm not sure I should." You say, "Then don't." "I'm not sure I should." "Then don't." Here's another one. Gossip comes to you and says, "Did you hear what they're saying about Jill?" You say something like this: "Oh, you mean that she's so nice that only a jerk would say something bad about her?" Ooh. Think through your own scenarios. There's a way to turn, to redirect the conversation. And if you want to be a maturing Christ follower, you must. As we get into Ephesians 4 next week and beyond, you know, one of the things that chapter 4 talks about is when we grow up in our faith, we speak the truth in love. We speak the truth. We put off falsehood. That's a sign of your maturity in Christ, that you put off falsehood. Falsehood isn't just actively lying. It's withholding what you need to say. That's a part of truthfulness or not being truthful. So we have to redirect the conversation of a person who is a gossip, whether it's a chronic or just in the occasional. Okay, so here's the second one. Reprove the person. Reprove them if they persist in their gossip. Reprove them. Get on them. If you do, that's going to stop it pretty quickly. It might make it awkward. It might break a friendship. It might separate you. You know, this is not easy stuff. I understand that we want to be liked by everyone. I'm a pastor. I know all about that. I want you all to like me. I really do. I'm human and you are too, so this is a tough thing. But if you have that person, they're not going to get better if you don't reprove them. We are to admonish one another when we see those slippages into sin. That takes courage. But when you consider that doing nothing makes you a party to what God repulses, what repulses God, then it is actually a favor to them and to you to say, "Hey, this is not going to happen." Proverbs 27:5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Proverbs 28:23 says, "The one who rebukes another will in the end gain more favor than the one who has a flattering tongue." tough stuff. That's what we're called to. That's how we walk worthy of our calling. Speak the truth in love and grace, but speak the truth. Here's number three. Remove yourself from the chronic gossiper's presence. Draw some boundaries. Sometimes you have to do that. If you try to redirect the gossip, but it persists, if you've admonished the gossip, but they persist, then get away from the gossip. Get away from the gossip. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid one who talks too much. Avoid one who runs at the mouth and who engages in gossip. Just draw some boundaries, at least for the time being. Perhaps that means removing yourself from that friendship or that Bible study group. Sometimes it happens there. Or that prayer group. You know, isn't it amazing how much gossip gets passed around in prayer? Hey, let's pray for, you know, so-and-so. And then you kind of detail out what, you know, is holy gossip. It's not really holy. It's unholy gossip. So if that's going on, you might have to say, I'm stepping away from this group and explain why. And explain why. It takes courage. You know, if you just remove yourself from people, and it might sound like I'm just saying, well, you just break off relationships. That is not redemptive at all to do that. Redemptive relationships require hard work and difficult conversations. And so we are obligated to say, this is why. But if you need to, remove yourself from the relationship for the time being in hopes that it will bring conviction to the gossiper. So that's what we can do. So let me just rehearse those real quick. Redirect the conversation of the gossip. Reprove the person who is the gossip, who persists in gossip. Remove yourself from the chronic gossiper's presence if they will not repent and change. That's what we can do. And then here's the last one we'll talk about. This is where we personalize it. It's not just about them and that person out there. This is about me and my walk with God. It's a person who wants to walk worthy of my callings. Here's the fourth one. Regulate your own words. Manage your own mouth. Manage your own mouth. Regulate your own words. Make sure that you don't fall into gossip yourself. Psalm 141, verse 3 says this. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Give me a mouth button, God. You know, give me a zipper for my lips. Lock it up and hold the key. Don't let me, because we all are capable of doing this. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, paraphrase says, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, believers, you and me, Christians have better uses for language than that. Our words are precious. They're ours to invest for the kingdom of God, for the betterment of the people of God. So we have better uses for our language, for our words, than gossip. So when in doubt, here's what I'm going to suggest. Here's the other filter that I want you to use. This is your assignment as well. There is a filter that I call the think filter that I would ask you to put all of your conversations through, and this is going to take some self-discipline to do this. All week long, everything you say, put it through this filter, the think filter. And I would hope that at some point of doing this, as awkward as it is to kind of go through this, that it would become second nature to you, so you just automatically do this whenever you're in communication. Whenever you're in communication or before you say something, you just kind of run it quickly, naturally, organically through this filter. Think. T. Is it true? Is it true? Do I know this to be absolute fact? In this day and age of fake news, my God, help us. Don't spread fake news. Back away from Twitter. Back away from social media. I mean, don't add to what's going on. Please. Do you know that everything that I give to you, whether it's a survey like I did today, or a quote, or a story, I go and fact check. And if it isn't substantiated, if I can't substantiate it, I throw it out. This week, there was a great illustration I wanted to give to you, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to check that out, because I always do. And it's been told, I'm not the only pastor who has told this story. It's a pretty common story. It's a very cool one. And I thought, I'm going to check it out, and it is one of those fake stories. It's not substantiated. It may be true. It sounds like it should be true, but I can't verify it. So I don't bring to the pulpit what I can't, because I don't want to be guilty of fake theology. So is it true? Do you know this, what you're to say, to be absolute fact? Here's the H. Is it helpful? It might be true, but is it helpful? You know, not all truth needs to, man, I'll get to that later, but is it going to help? Is it going to build up? Can it be used to build up, or will it tear down? Will it be used to tear down? Is it going to be helpful before I speak it? I, is it inspiring? Does it call out the best in that person? I mean, we are called to call out the best in people. You can do better than that. You can rise to the occasion. There's a higher level of living for you. Can we inspire people with what we're going to say? Even difficult conversations should inspire people to raise their lives to a better level. N, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Does it really need to be said? Even if it's true, it may not need to be said. That's where we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Does this really need to be said right now? You know, sometimes the holy thing is just staying silent. I mean, that can go the other way. You know, you can be sinful by not speaking the truth in love, but not every opinion that comes to your head needs to get out through your mouth. So, is it necessary? If you're going to make a mistake, default to being quiet. You'll make less mistakes that way than if you just share everything. Run at the mouth. If you share everything. You're going to get in trouble. And here's the last one. K, is it kind? Is it kind? Will it be an instrument of blessing? The think filter. That's your assignment. If I say, come on, think, that's not a put down. It's like, come on, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Does it inspire? Is it necessary? Is it kind? What do I say? Why am I challenging you to that? I believe in this because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Truly, death and life are in the power of the tongue. A few years ago, when I was still pastoring in California, we had a very large Christian school there, 1,400 students in our school. A big, big deal. It's a consumer of our corporate energy and our vision. Big deal. I love Christian schools. I'm so grateful for them. I'm glad for the great Christian schools that other churches do. I don't want to pastor one anymore, ever. Please, God. We'll just bless others and send our students to Horizon and West Hills and Westside Pilgrim Lutheran. And they are awesome ministries. I mean that. This was a big school, and it was a consumer of energy and wonderful ministry. So all that is not important. But what was important to this occasion is that as they did every day, they would have staff devotions. And I walked in one day to the elementary school teacher's lounge before school started, and they were having their characteristic devotional time. And one of the teachers was leading the devotion. And I walked into it, and as she was getting to the end of her devotion, she began to share a story that she had randomly come across that week from a devotional journal or book or magazine or something that had really inspired her. And so she was sharing this uplifting story, but unknown to her, the story that she was using was about a friend of mine. She didn't know it. She didn't know that I knew this guy, but I know the guy. And she was telling this story that had gotten published. It was kind of like gossip in a good way. This was holy gossip. She was using this guy's story, and I could verify this. I can verify this. And this is the story that she told. This is a letter that this guy wrote as an adult back to one of his teachers. So listen to this story, the power of words, death and life. He said, "Dear Mrs. Wright, I came into your seventh grade geography class with an enormous inferiority complex. Since failing third grade, I'd been at odds with school and myself. Mentally, I labeled myself a loser, and I was doing a good job of living up to it. That's why I was so surprised to read your affirming notes on my homework, on my papers. You took time to praise even the smallest of my efforts. And I still remember so clearly the day that you asked me to stay after school for a conference. That 30-minute visit changed my entire life. You said you believed in me, that I had great academic potential, and I was amazed. Your confidence in me boosted my self-esteem and lifted me out of my loser mentality. In fact, it boosted me enough to carry me through 14 more years of school to earn 2 master's degrees and a doctorate with honors. The confidence you showed in me has also impacted how I interact with my students. I regularly take time to visit individually with them, encouraging them and reminding them of their potential. I want to repeat the miracle of your words, the miracle that you gave to me. Thank you, Mrs. Wright, for 30 minutes that changed my life. And it's signed Dr. Carl Boyd Gibbs, one of our dear friends and a missionary that PCC supports. Here's a picture of Dr. Gibbs on the Linda's would be left side, and next to Bahailu Shibru, who is our Petros Network translator and employee, and there's me and Linda, and then Dr. John Easter. They're all a part of the ministry called the Africa's Hope. We're going to receive this offering for them in a moment. That's the story of Dr. Carl, and they are doing an amazing, amazing work. In fact, the translation work that they're doing for, I think now 13 or 15, maybe 18 African countries, to put the training materials for pastors and church planters and discipleship materials for the new converts will literally be a gift that keeps on giving long after this group of people have died and gone to heaven, should Jesus tarry. This is a legacy that we're involved in. This is a spiritual legacy that Dr. Gibbs, this guy that was a loser, he said, he just had a low self-esteem, whose life was transformed by the power of this teacher's words. These guys are investing in something that will make a difference 100 years from now. What are you doing? What are you doing today that will make a difference 100 years from now? Well, I'm telling you, one of the easiest things you could do is to use your words for life and not death. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You choose. So what if we at Portland Christian Center committed to eliminate gossip and choose only words that brought out the best in each other, not the worst? Every word, every single word carries the enormous potential of changing someone's life for good, forever. That is the worthy walk that God has called us to.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.